understand that the devil didn't keep us from getting this revelation? Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. God concealed a matter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, until when? Until that day? What day? The great and terrible day of the Lord. What is the great and terrible day of the Lord? It means when the sun is at its peak and it's shining and the fruit is ripe for picking. So cool. I thought it meant when God's wrath was going to be poured out on us. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Period. Period. Well, Angel, are you just preaching this gracious God? Yes, I am.
Without apology.
Yes. Why? Because all things are possible to them that believe. Those that be alive. Those that be live. Those that have awakened.
But how do you stay awakened? See, that's what's challenging for me. Like, there's periods.
Let me ask you this. Is there an evening and a morning, or are they both good?
I believe that time is meant to be.
Is there an evening and a morning, and are they both good?
They must be.
They must be. Exactly, because God said, and it was good. Now, right. Here's the thing. You have a nature. You have two natures. You're a twin. You have a God nature and an earth nature. And God didn't make a mistake by giving you a slowed down earth manifesting matter nature that could be beheld. It was by purpose that he did that. Mm-hmm. So that nature that you have is dark. Mm-hmm. But lovely. Mm-hmm. The earth does this. It moves towards the sun and away from the sun.
Right.
And towards the sun and away from the sun. And guess what we do? Mm-hmm. The same thing. When I ask God, God, why did you make me this way? I want to be God conscious all the time. That's what I told him. I don't want these moments of not knowing you. He said, so you think your children are ugly when they sleep? What are we talking about, God? You know, when you hold your babies and you look at them for hours when they're sleeping after you've nursed them and they're milk drunk, you think that's ugly. No, I could stare at my babies for hours. He said, me too. Where do you think you got that from? So, honey, when you're God, when you're not God conscious and you're asleep, God is adoring you. That set me free because I used to feel guilty and unlovable when I was asleep. And God said, if you who are evil can love your child while it's sleeping, how much more do I love you while you're sleeping? I have compassion on you, Angela. I adore you. I delight in you. I take joy in just gazing upon you. I made you for my good pleasure, and I didn't make a mistake in making you out of dust that turns toward me and away from me. And towards me and away from me. I said, then why did you do that? He said, for the joy of rediscovering you.
So that we can wake up.
So that we can wake up again and again and again and again. Because discovery in and of itself is a mystery. And God loves mystery. God loves when we seek him. God loves when we desire him. What if I never had desire for this man? What if your wife never desired you? Would you like that? How would you like it if he never desired you?
It'd be painful.
See? That's the purpose of darkness. It births things. Can you think of anything that is birthed, that is not birthed out of darkness? Anything. If you can think of it, tell me what it is. It's not, is it? And yet we've been taught to hate the darkness.
I keep thinking that as I'm sitting here, really all of our problems come from not understanding darkness, from misperceptions about darkness.
Yeah. Because light came into the darkness and we perceived it not.
Well, because we worship not the living word, but,
written.
And we think we read it.
Which is our nature. Yeah. It's our nature to look at the form. Why? Because we are a form. But there's coming a day when you shall need no form. See, the word of God came like this in what we call the commandments. What's the word right in the middle of the word commandment?
Man.
Man.
We wanted it. Tell us what to do.
Co-man. Two. To couple. The two. Man. And we meant well. Our intent was well, but our wisdom was lacking, because man don't have wisdom in and of itself. Wisdom comes from God. It doesn't come from us. But God puts himself in the dark place. Why? Because that's how resurrection happens. See, you resurrect an idea, but God resurrects it. You deem something to be good or evil, and God redeems it. Why? Because he's a redeemer. That's what he does. So the word of God that came in the form of Ten Commandments came into the earth to show you that you couldn't keep it. That means it came to die. So guess what it's about to do?
Resurrect
and break forth with fruit. And I'm going to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. I'm not going to have any carved images. I'm not going to even need them. Why? Because love conquers all.
Right.
It hopes all things. It trusts all things. It believes all things. See, love is not something you can do. I tell people this all the time. I can prove to you right now you cannot love someone. I can prove it to you. Right now, wipe away every account of anything wrong done to you just from one person. Let's just love one person. Forget everything your child has ever done to you. Go ahead and forget it. You can't do it. And you love that child with all your heart. Mm-hmm. See, it's not possible, because love is not something you do. Love is a person that God, he wants to be one with you. You can be one with love, but you can't be love. You can't be God. You can be one with God. To think you can be God, to think you can be loving, is to think you can be like God. Mm. And you know anybody that the Bible says that about? Rise up and be like God. Okay. Let's put them out, because now they are like God, knowing both good and evil. They were one with God before, then they became like God. How about let's be one with God? And then goodness and mercy shall flow through you. Not because you chose to. I tell people, I don't obey God. I just can't tell him.
That's way better.
You can't what?
Can't tell him no. Why? Because he takes my breath away. Because he buckles my knees. I don't tell this man no. I love the story of when I bought my husband a birthday present, that it was so much, it took a huge box to contain it. It had about a million pieces, and I worked so hard to get this box full of a million pieces. And when my husband opened it, all he could see was it had a million pieces. It was a shed from Sears. And when he opened it, he was like, what the is this? When am I going to have time to put this together? And he gave me a few expletives with his gratitude. And I was heartbroken. How dare he not be grateful for my intent that he didn't have a place to put his things, and I saved for him to put his things. He was thinking, are you kidding me? I got to put a million pieces together? I would have much rather gave me a mud pie. I could enjoy that. So when I go inside after my heart's broken because he blasted me, God says, make him a glass of lemonade. I said, I'm not making him anything. Well, am I going to throw it on him at that point? That's what I would have wanted to do, right? Because I'm all offended. And so God tells me to make this glass of lemonade. And I said, God, I'm not making him anything. The Lord said, make him a glass of lemonade. I said, okay, fine. I got the country time thing out. The Lord said, no, I'll make him the good kind. Make him the homemade kind. I was like, God, I just ate crabs yesterday, and I have holes in my fingers. And if I do that lemon, it's going to burn my hand. No, I'm not making that kind. Well, make it for me, Angela. God, don't ask me to make it for you, because you know I can't tell you no. Would you make it for me? All right, fine, God. I'll make it. You know I'm going to complain. I'm making it. I get down, I'm like, okay, now, is that what you wanted? He said, you didn't put salt in it. That's not how you like it. But I'm not making it for me. I'm making it for him only because you said so. I'm really making it for you. I'm not making it for him. But Angela, that's not your best. Are you going to give me something less than your best? Fine. Put my salt in it. He said, it would be really nice if you put some grenadine in and make it pink lemonade. Pink? He don't like pink. He don't even know what pink, he don't even know what grenadine is, God. Yeah, but I do, and you're not making it for him. You're making it for me. Okay, fine, I'll get the grenadine. How's that, Jesus? I am not happy about this, but I can't tell Jesus no. Why? Because he loves me, and he's wanting me to give something to him that I don't feel very loved by right now or appreciated. So I get done with this glass of pink lemonade, and I bring it outside to Michael, who's in this
a toy box of 1,000 bolts and little pieces everywhere. And I hand him the lemonade, and he looks up at me. He said, "What's this?" I'm like, "Lemonade."
He said, "Did you spit in it?"
And he said, "It's pink." I'm like, "Yeah." But you can see all the pulp all flowing. So he's like, this is homemade. How you make homemade pink lemonade? I'm thinking, see, Jesus told you wouldn't know what it was. I said, it's got grenadine in it. That's the cherry juice, the sweet cherry juice. It's homemade pink lemonade. Now, at this time, I don't know it, but his heart is melting. And his eyes.
She did not say with that attitude.
No, but inside is where my attitude was. The intent of my heart was not pure.
Right.
I was angry and hurt and offended. And I, if he had asked me for a glass of lemonade, I said, kiss my behind. I just gave you something. Look how much you didn't like that. I ain't giving you something else. But I couldn't tell Jesus no. Even though I tried and argued and wrestled. And I handed him the lemonade and he began to weep. And he asked for forgiveness. And God said to me that lemonade wasn't for him nor me. It was for you, Angela. I never thought for a moment what I put my husband through. I was so selfish. I was so self-centered. I was so focused on me. But I can tell you, when the love of God hits you, you can't tell God no. Can the ocean tell God, I'm not going to go this far, go reading Job? Can the moon say when it's going to shine or not shine? No, God, I'm not going to shine tonight. See, we really are that way. And when you fall in love with God, why? Because you know yourself and he still loves you. Because when you know yourself, don't you find out? You ain't lovable.
Right.
There's no good thing in you. You're dark. And he says, yes, but lovely. You're everything you ever judged. And according to your own standard, you're not lovable. That is righteousness. When you believe that you are loved, knowing your wretchedness, knowing your unworthiness, knowing there's no good thing in you, and you believe you're loved, that's righteousness. It was accounted unto Abraham for righteousness because he believed what? The impossible.
You know, every time you say that, I can literally go back to that moment when I had my first session with you, and I will never forget it, because that whole thing that you talk about where you can't choose to do anything just because you want to, but when it floods as a response, that is as clear as anything I will ever remember. It's the highlight of my walk with God. It was on that table when I recognized he loved me in spite of who I was. I could no longer hold judgment toward anybody that hurt me. I was flooded with forgiveness and gratitude and love.
It's spontaneous gratitude.
It's so different.
It's not gratitude because you choose it. It's not love because you choose it. It's not even obedience because you choose it. Let me tell you the difference between a bride and a child. A child is like a slave, even though the child is master of all. How is a child like a slave? Do this, don't do that. Touch this, don't touch that. Go here, don't go there. But when you mature, God is not going to marry a child. Jesus is not going to marry a child. Jesus is coming for a bride without spot or blemish, for a mature bride. What does that mean? She's no longer being told do this or don't do that. Michael, I never obey this man. If he tried to get me to obey him, I'd say, you're not my daddy. That would be creepy. See, that would be perverted if I had that kind of union with a daddy.
Yeah,
no. Jesus is the lover of your soul. He's not your daddy. He's not your papa. He calls her the Shulamite, my twin, my sister, my equal. He's not marrying his sister, okay? It's not incestuous. He's marrying his counterpart, his opposite, his darkness to his light. Why? Because he needs a place to put himself that he might manifest through the darkness. Why? Because even the darkness is light unto him. There is no shadow in him. He sees himself shining out of us. He sees himself in her eyes. He says he sits before you like a silversmith, winnowing the fire. Why? Until he sees his reflection. The light coming out of her. That's you. See, darkness cannot, that soil did not produce the tree. The soil held the seed, and God produced the tree through the union. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. God, and now he's saying, can I abide in you? Would you abide in me? Can we be married? Can we be one? I'm coming for a bride. Can you be dark and yet lovely? Can you be dark and know that I love you? Could you be your nature that forgets me at a moment and falls asleep and still know that I love you? And I'm not condemning you. You condemn yourself already. You don't need me to do that. I came to give you life and life abundant. I came to give you joy. I came to give you the kind of goodness that even if you were crazy enough to run from it, you couldn't outrun it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. That Michael and I are starting to live and experience and taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. And he's good when all the time and in all things.
This morning we're talking about darkness and light,
yes.
Bitter and sweet.
Yes.
And the story, I've heard you in this podcast before, but what was so interesting about the lemonade this time that you described, and this is what we were talking about this morning, is that actually on our tongue, even in order for us to be healthy, we actually need things that are bitter. I mean, literally it helps with digestion. We need things that have salt, things that are sour, and things that are sweet, and it needs to be in a balance. And if that gets out of balance, then our health will get out of balance.
And do you realize if I would not have done a real lemon, I wouldn't have had bitter in it?
No, sour.
The sour is going to come if I'd had lemonade out of a can. But yeah. By making it homemade, whether you realize or not, the oil from that rind is bitter. Mm-hmm. And that the white part that's inside there, I don't know what it's called, but you know what I'm talking about, that membrane? That membrane, it actually has bitter in it. So the bitter and the sour came out of the same place. The water, which held all the everything, the salt and the grenadine. But you had all four of them in there: salt, sweet, bitter,
and sour.
All four. Now, of course, I didn't know that back in the day, but that's what God was asking me to give him, and he wanted me to bless my husband. My nature was dark. And is dark and shall ever be dark. That's my nature. And I used to hate Esau, have I hated. Do you know that Jacob could not reconcile to his brother until he came to truth and reality? And when he came to truth and reality in the place called Peniel, where he rested his head on a rock, which is the stone of your heart, and you accept who you are, the place called Peniel is that little third eye that people think is the devil snuck in and put in your brain while you were in your mother's womb. It literally is where you encounter God. It gets calcified over time, and that calcification can come away. That's the same as a stone being rolled away. In that place called Peniel, God changed Jacob, which means one who is tricked by sorrow and suffering, to Israel, the truth. God shall prevail. The truth shall prevail. That's what Israel means.
You know what? I just thought of this too. Most of the melatonin, I think we have some melatonin produced in the gut, but in the pineal gland, that's the primary place where melatonin is produced. Melatonin is what enables us to, and it's precursor.
Listen to the word, male atonement.
It's a precursor to life.
Well, it's to what enables us to sleep, to rest.
To rest.
At night. And even what they found now women with breast cancer, and usually, this is completely documented, but usually they don't sleep well years before they...
And think about it. Usually women that have breast cancer, there's a male in their family that didn't love them purely, usually.
But their melatonin production was not functional.
Yeah. And listen to the word melatonin.
I never thought of it. Melatonin.
Atonement.
Wow.
Rest. Enter thou into the rest of God. I mean, letters is the word. In the beginning was the word. You are a written word. You are a scroll. The Bible calls you a scroll, a written epistle with the finger of God.